Previously on the Hooli's Hooli.
Next week on the Hooli's Hooli, Bill will be eating toxic waste.
Stay tuned.
Tune in.
I love it.
Michael Lispy, motivational speaker, will be egging him on to eat some toxic waste.
Yeah.
Michael Lispy, radical motivational speaker.
Yeah. Because Michael Lispy, professional doctor.
As opposed to an amateur doctor.
Hey, this guy's real serious. He's a professional doctor.
They don't come along very often. Honey, our neighbor, you won't believe it. He's a professional doctor.
AM WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. My name's Patty Houlihan.
Yeah.
I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always is twin brother Billy. Hi, Bill.
How are you? Coming in hot there.
Coming in very hot tonight. And the greatest person in the world, Clay O'Brien, is with us.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Still not getting used to that intro. It's very hard for me to call someone the greatest.
Hey,
unless it's myself, you know? I'm the greatest.
I'll tell you what is the greatest. Some of that candy that's in front of him right now.
Yeah, I got a mouthful of Airhead. That's why I can't talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Billy brought in his car stash.
He did.
Which consists of a half pound of Sour Patch fruit things.
Yep.
A full bag, like a Halloween bag of Airheads. The biggest box of Lemonheads I've ever seen.
You've ever seen?
And a backup pouch of Airheads.
Those are
in case he gets stuck in a well or something.
Those are Airhead bites.
Did you see that kid who fell into the well in California?
In 1990?
No, this was over the Easter weekend.
Oh, I shouldn't make well jokes then.
No, don't make no well jokes. It's very...
Hey, you're that jerk who picked on the kid in the well.
Yeah, you can't make jokes about people in wells. It's not very nice.
Well comedy ruined me.
Yeah. I had a great comedy career going, and then I made that joke about the kid in the well. The end. Anyway, yeah, there was a kid who fell down some sort of basin.
I did see that.
He was in California, and he was trapped in the California sewage pipeline system for, I don't know, long time, 20 hours or something. And then he wiggled his way through miles of.
Hey, gotta be careful.
It was right out of the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, he said he did an Andrew Dufresne, huh?
That's what the police officer said. You're lucky to be alive. You're really into the frame. You know that?
Yeah.
Watch where you step next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't that what? Now I got to look it up. We never do much
That's
research.
That's true. No,
for
he stepped on a
listeners.
Piece of wood and it fell through.
Okay. Thank you.
So he'll be soon.
Actually, you just reminded me of that whole Shawshank thing. Mm-hmm. Just by saying the Andy Dufresne. One of the greatest.
Shawshank Redemption
one
film.
One of the greatest bits I've ever seen. Spoofing Shawshank was Frank Caliendo on the Mike and Mike show.
Okay.
He does when LeBron reads the letter, I'm coming home to Cleveland.
Okay. I have no idea. Yeah.
He does it in, he does that as Morgan Freeman's voice, and they play the Shawshank music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite entertaining.
What show is that on, Bill?
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike. For our listeners, if you don't like the Hooli's Hooli, you can you can always, Bill will always refer to jokes on other programs.
Sorry. It's very good. Mike and Mike is no longer in existence anyway, so don't need to worry about that.
Okay. We did talk a lot about candy last episode. We talked about motivational speakers and professional doctors and things of that nature.
Right.
I don't know how it came to fruition. Oh, I know. Our engineer Mike told us that the show last week inspired him to do a little bit of sleuth work, some detective work, and he went looking for some toxic waste.
The sourest candy
in the world. And Clay, I understand you did the same.
I found some too, and it was $15, and I said, you know what? It's not worth it.
This toxic waste, I was going to buy this toxic waste, but it's $15. I mean, it's not worth it.
I mean, but,
honey, we're going to have to save for this toxic waste. Do you understand?
Why don't we just make Bill eat 12 of these Sour Patch Kids and see if he can. Do it.
So you couldn't. Where did you find it, Clay? Where was it? $15.
You get a dollar for every one you eat. If you eat more than 15, then it equals out.
Oh yeah. Okay. I don't know.
A dollar for eating 15 Sour Patch Kids?
Per Sour Patch Kid.
I could eat 200 Sour Patch Kids right now. For a dollar a Sour Patch Kid? I bet I could do that.
You couldn't eat 100 Sour Patch Kids. You'd be dead.
Your teeth had hurt after a while. Unless you had flawless teeth, no cavities, nothing, your teeth were in great health. Yeah, 200 Sour Patch Kids is feasible.
I'm a candy recruiter. But Billy the candy recruiter.
But if
he's been a candy detective, now he's a candy recruiter. Now, if any of these, do you know any kids who've got real strong teeth? They can make a lot of money in candy eating competitions.
There should be candy eating competitions. That's genius.
For children?
For anybody.
We should start it.
If they can do hot dogs, which are the most unhealthy thing in the world, then they can see how many people can ram it in their face.
Right.
Like 200
Snickers
bars?
Let's see
if
some guy can eat 100 Snickers bars in an hour.
You know what, though?
For sure. What's the worst that can happen?
I don't know. He could be speed rapping. Like, have a Snick attack. Lunatic, you know.
He'd be talking like the Micro Machines guy.
Yeah. What's with him? Oh, he just won the Snickers eating championship. He had 250 Snickers in 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I've already had like 12 of these things.
I know.
Like,
you can't put them down. 30 seconds. They're addictive. I gotta stop. You got to stop. Right,
the chocolate eating contest like that, like where they're rapid fire and like slobbering. Could get scatological fast. I don't think it would be entertaining for the audience.
Here's the thing, though. Snickers, the chocolate and the nougat and all that stuff is in the caramel. That's a little softer on your teeth. A Sour Patch Kid is like going to war. I mean, if you're gonna do 200 Sour Patch Kids,
going to war with your teeth.
Yeah,
we were gonna have them be. We were pitching teeth them to sponsor tongue. This program, and that we can't say that.
Well, there was a warning. I mean, there was a warning on the toxic waste product that if you don't wash your mouth out, your teeth will fall out.
There has to be. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the same.
Surgeon
is true.
General warning. Surgeon General Candy warning. William Houlihan, Surgeon Candy General.
Who's the Surgeon General? Let's get him on this fun, candy man. Issue.
The Surgeon General of Candy.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing?
All right, let's get off candy. We talk about candy too much.
Because life is candy, man.
I wish.
Life is like a box of chocolates, right? Isn't that Forrest Gump's big thing?
One of the most articulate gentlemen of the 21st century.
That Forrest Gump. Yeah. Boy, he changed the world, didn't he?
I bet you if right now, if you like gave like a poll to people and you said if Forrest Gump was going to run against Donald Trump, and look at that rhymes right there.
Gump versus Trump.
I bet you a lot of people would vote for Forrest Gump. You think people would vote for Forrest Gump?
I'm pretty sure that there were probably... Forrest Gump probably got somewhere in the area of like 5,000 votes last presidential election. You just don't know. So many people probably wrote in Forrest Gump.
Right. Who's your dad voting for? Forrest Gump. Get back to the sidewalk, sir.
Actually, that'd be a great... if you were a guy running for office, you just legally change your name to Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that would be something that Donald Trump would do. For the next 4 years, I want to be known as Forrest Gump. President Gump.
I'm going to sit on this bench and people will talk to me, right? That's all he did, right?
I just want to sit in front of the White House on a bench and talk to little old ladies about gold towers and casinos that I ran at one time.
I've actually never seen the movie. Yeah.
He doesn't play ping pong. He plays tennis instead, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, Mr. Trump... we'll get to Stormy Daniels in a minute, but the rest of America is very curious. Have you ever sat down and watched Forrest Gump alone?
Alone.
I literally watch Forrest Gump on my private jet weekly. Weekly. It makes me cry.
He loves the scene where, is it Abby Hoffman calls him on a stage? Or the character who's supposed to be portraying Abby Hoffman?
The protester?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, this scene's horrible.
I don't know. Right. Looking back and you watch that movie, you're like, what?
Do you think Trump has a TV that comes out of the end of his bed and like rises up? Like, but it's like from 1990, so it's not like great.
He's got like that
Melania, come whack the TV. It's not rising.
She's hitting it with a pen. Like de-scrambling it. Good, good, good.
Better.
Is it better? Yeah, that's fine. Give me a quarter pounder on your way out.
Oh, man. Wait a second, though. It does remind me that, because when you think of Trump, you can't think that he would have anything new technological because you sort of associate him with the Gordon Gekko mindset.
Right.
So, like, he has to have, remember the big TV that Gekko had? He's like, I got this from a kid, Buddy, or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's a portable TV.
In Wall Street, the movie.
Yeah. It's the size of, like, a tape recorder.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I want those to come back.
I want Trump to
get... Big portable TVs that people are just walking around with.
Talking about, we got them iPhone, now. They're called the iPhones.
iPhone 6 Plus. No, I want them bigger than Pat. I want them like big, thick. So when people get mad at it and break it, it really makes a scene.
You think he's got box TVs all over his condo?
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like the old MTV career, he's got hundreds of box TVs on one
like
wall.
Gold. These are gold TVs. Zenith made special for me.
That'd be cool, actually. I wonder if he has that.
I don't know.
He absolutely has that.
I just thought of another very weird scenario in life.
What is it?
I was looking at your pen.
Yeah.
And I noticed that it said Boar's Head on it.
It does.
They're a brand that pretty much they... It's meat, right? It's like deli meat that they sell pretty much.
Yeah, Boar's Head. Yes, it is.
And what crossed my mind is, how did that pen get into your hands? And do you think there's ever a situation where, say, like, all of a sudden the president's like signing a big document and he pulls out a pen that has like some other commercial logo other than the president's seal?
It says the Hooli's Hooli.
Exactly. Do you think that's a possibility? Could that happen? It's got to, right? How many times have you like gone in your pocket, pulled out a pen, and been like, where the heck did this thing come from?
No.
Does it happen? They're like lighters, too.
I think that the Secret Service knows exactly how much change Trump has in his pockets. Like, they have to regulate everything like
that. Sir, do you still have 97 cents in your pocket?
Yes, I do.
Where did you get that pen?
Vladimir Putin sent this to me in the mail.
With a pork chop. Enjoy the pork chop.
Very nice.
He said, I understand that you really enjoyed the Russian sales manual that I endorsed.
Here, you can write me a thank you note with this pen.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what he said. And I said, Boar's Head. Isn't that a meat company here in the United States? He said, yes, but over here it's a prison camp that I own.
Okay.
For candy eaters.
For candy eaters. Brian, I gotta pull him away from you.
For illegal candy eaters.
Bill doesn't want me to eat all his candy.
No.
Yeah, Bill came in for a photo. He brought his candy in for a photo op that we were going to do after the show, and now he's a bit concerned that Clay's taking it down.
I got plenty more where that came from.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what's better than candy, though?
Oatmeal.
Absolutely. It is. McCann's Irish Oatmeal. This show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. It's the greatest oatmeal on earth. If you have a little every morning and then eat a lot of candy throughout the day, you're good to go.
Yep.
Shows, we'll be back after these messages. Yeah.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the South Side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips, or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today, we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooli Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. They're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Tell Tom Gorman your story. He's a great guy. Welcome back to the Hooli's Hooli. I'm Patty Houlihan. Before the program, if you were not listening, we spoke about candy again for a little while.
Candy.
It's been
candy.
What's
candy.
New candy talk? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I forgot.
This week's
that.
Candy talk is presented by.
What's that other song? Candy, candy, candy.
Oh, that's an, I think that's an Iggy Pop song. Is that an Iggy Pop song? I can't remember.
This episode of Candy Talk is brought to you by Facebook.
Right? How about that? The whole Facebook charade, Zuckerberg in front of Congress and everything.
Creep.
What do you think? Thanks. What do you think about that? Creep.
No, I mean, it's just there's too much vagueness involved in the whole thing. It's just like, yeah, they can give all the answers they want. No one really knows what's going on. I love that it's all these like 80-year-old senators like, what's the deal with this computer thing? People stealing identity ID cards. This is crazy.
Yeah. Right. Like there's old like senators huddling up in their office and they're like, where's the intern that works here? I need to learn everything about Facebook in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, you can message people, but then they don't have to be your friend to be messaged.
What do you mean?
How did it know that I was buying a rake that day, and then I saw an advertisement for a rake on the Facebook?
Say what? A rake?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you go to Ace Hardware and look at rakes,
yeah,
or buy a rake, no, you'll start getting ads for rakes.
Yeah, what he's saying is if your Facebook profile is linked up to any of your other apps, sometimes an app will ask you, do you want to log in using your Facebook profile? And you say yes. That app automatically has access to all your information and who you're friends with and all that stuff on Facebook. So... When you go on the internet too and like do search engines and stuff like that, if you've logged in, say, to Facebook, not using an app, you're just on like say a laptop and you go to their general website for Facebook and you log in there, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook can actually track down a lot of the sites that you've previously visited from that IP address or whatever, and therefore there are ads.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I was, like, say, just...
Then why haven't I seen any Stormy Daniels ads on Facebook?
Oh, boy.
Stormy Daniels DVD, 2-for-1 sale.
Right.
Yeah.
How did they know? How did Facebook know that I was a Stormy Daniels
it
fan?
It turns out the internet is a lot creepier than we thought.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
No, it's...
you get ads. Like, if I was, like, looking up a pair, like, say, if I wanted to buy, like, a pair of Tommy Hilfiger shoes,
mm-hmm.
and I was on, say, like, Zappos or eBay or any of that stuff looking for them... There will be an ad on Facebook from eBay or Zappos that will show the exact pair of shoes that I was looking at,
sure.
kind of reminding me and trying to entice me to go back to that website and purchase that.
Do you think they're listening to us right now through our phones? Because I've heard this theory before, and yes, it's very much true. It's apparent. But I've heard also that there's in your phone... They can extrapolate audio waves of whatever's around you, and some people have claimed to me that they've sat in the office or they've started talking about a certain product, and then all of a sudden on their computer the product pops up like minutes later. What's that all about? You know,
I don't know.
I hope anyone who listens to our program is getting lots of pop up ads for McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Right? Assume that they're always listening and reading, and they know everything that you've visited at all times.
I can. Officer, I know for a fact, I'm a candy detective, by the way, but I know for a fact that this person in a coma, before they were in a coma, they were listening to a show called The Hooli's Hooli, because in his internet search history of banner ads and things of that nature, there was a lot of Elijah Wood pictures, a lot of pictures about Euros meat, Sour Patch Kids, candy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing amount
smoking.
Of smoking. Marlboro. I didn't even know that they advertised on the internet. All of a sudden, I was inundated with cigarette advertisements.
It's scary.
I'm a candy detective, by the way. Mm-hmm. You need any help?
It's scary to know that someone's looking at what I looked at.
And I don't even know that person, right? You know what scares me? Tech campfire ghost stories from the future.
Some guy that works at Google Little named kids. Jeff, looking at everything I've looked at, trying to decipher if I'm a psychopath or not.
He works for Google? He probably works for the FBI.
He works for both. It's the same thing at this point.
Jeff, but does Eric work with him as well?
Yeah, well, I hope not. Then I got big problems.
That's another thing. I know he was listening to the Hooli's Hooli because there were baby suggestion names for Eric from lots of sites. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted the name Eric kept popping up.
I sent you guys a picture. I was driving down the expressway and there was a billboard that just said Eric on it.
Call Eric?
Just Eric. It was the other radio, our competition.
Oh, that Eric.
Mm-hmm.
That handsome buck.
I forgot to ask you, is Jeff the guy that would be listening or following you, Clay?
Yes.
Does he spell it with a J or a G?
A G-E-O-F.
I figured he was a Geoff.
Geoff.
Geoff. I am Geoff, your file manager.
I am Geoff?
I am Geoff.
No, that'd be like me, like in an interview, like interviewing someone for a job and looking at him and going, oh, hello, Geoff. what brings you here today?
My name is Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, Geoff, looks like we're not going to be able to hire you.
Geoff, listen, can you go in the next room and read that Russian sales manual and come back out here and recite chapter 3, verse 10?
Chapter 3, slapping.
Chapter 3.
The slap technique.
That's right. Buy this. Buy this.
You want this.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. Good, Geoff.
Geoff, good.
You own tie?
You own the tie? Put on the tie and come back and start working the phones.
Everyone, this is Geoff.
It's 5:15. I don't care.
Russian boiler room technique. Russian sales boiler room technique.
Well, now they're calling like Facebook. They're creating Facebook profiles in the Russian boiler room.
Right. See, I knew everything would come back.
It all comes back together. Right. We joke, but it's actually happening as we speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. They're all, like...
Now,
Russian hipsters. Let's just do this fake stuff.
Russian hipster tech animals maniacs.
Yeah, that's...
That sounds like a southern guy. These Russian hipster tech animals are taking over the internet.
Broke my computer.
Did you see this thing?
Broke my laptop.
Speaking of...
Mr. Zuckerberg.
You broke my computer.
Mr. Zuckerberg, these Russian hipsters... Tech guys broke my computer.
Zuckerberg's like king of the hipsters.
Is he?
Yeah, he's king of the dorks, I guess.
I don't know what he is. He's Zuckerberg.
He's speaking at Dorkfest this year.
Kidding?
He's singing with the Ponces, actually.
Yes, he is.
They're singing Technology by the Pulsars.
Ooh, great pick.
Yeah,
great
like
song.
We'll play that one.
We could play Technology tonight.
We have to, in honor of Zucky. Baby
Zucks. Is there a future?
Are you Baby Zuckerberg?
Baby Zuckerberg's a great name of a band.
Hardcore metal.
You could or
electronic metal band.
No,
Zuckerberg.
You're like Diplo or like Skrillex. You're like a DJ. You dress up. You're like a little Mark Zuckerberg.
What's the guy's name?
Baby Zuckerberg
from Grandma's Boy, the lead computer, the programmer.
Oh, the guy who like turns against all of them.
He's like sits in his office with the 20 screens.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I forget his name in the film.
That's what I envision Zuckerberg's like daily life.
I don't think Zuckerberg has as much input at Facebook as people think. Does that make sense? Like, he got so wealthy so quick and had this tech company, and he's just being advised by lots of venture capitalist guys and influenced by, wherever the money is. And he's like, okay, sure. Do you think he really has time to be, looking this deep into Facebook? The guy just wanted to create something where people could connect. I don't think he ever anticipated.
I think it's his obsession. I think he's a control nut.
You do?
Absolutely. Okay. I think he knows every detail of that company, as he should.
I don't. I'm not sure he does.
I think he does.
I'm not convinced that he does at all.
He seems like he needs to be the smartest guy in the room at all points during the day. Bill Gates, on the other hand, I think is probably over the years become less involved. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Tech talk.
Geek Wars.
Let me hear your techie talk.
Ooh, another lemonhead just fell out of this box.
Geek Wars.
Yeah. Tonight on Geek Wars, Zuckerberg vs. Baby Gates.
Actually, I just thought of a great idea for Billy's Toys.
What is it?
Geek Wars, the board game.
Geek Wars, the musical.
Geek Wars, the board game. That's a great idea.
Geek Wars, the board game, and you get to be, it's like Zuckerberg versus Gates versus Steve
Elon
Jobs.
Musk, Elon, Peter Thiel.
Yeah, it's
these
like
these are all different characters Hawking. In the game. Right.
Yeah, and like...
Me?
Each guy...
And the Monopoly, the board is like Silicon Valley. It's like a map of Silicon Valley. Like, I just conquered Google.
It's like a challenge. No, it's like a world... There's like a world challenge of some sort of total domination. And each character that you get in the board game... So like if you want to be Zuckerberg, you have to divide... You know, there's like certain rules or whatever that you can follow within the game that would allow you to be like a social media empire that... undermines everybody else during the game, and then you could be Elon Musk. And
Bill's already playing this out, you know, from start to finish.
He fights against Zuckerberg with his idea, and Gates tries.
Are you suggesting that we create like a very nerdy geek version of Dungeons and Dragons, except it's all around world conquering and tech?
Yeah, it's like Risk.
It is a bit like Risk. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Geek Wars.
Honey, I'm getting in the board game business. Geek Wars.
Honey, I've invented a board game.
I've invented a board game in the last 15 minutes.
But you couldn't call them
You just call them, they're all known by their first names anyway. Just say Elon and Mark and Peter, you know.
Okay.
Those are very general names, you know.
Okay.
But then, you know, then you get...
What would you call this stuff? Like, you can't have...
Sergey.
Jeff. Geoff.
Geoff is a guy. He's on the board game. Oh, I got to be Geoff again.
He's the dud.
Come on, we're all going to roll for our characters. Last guy gets Geoff.
Well, you know what? I wish I would have thought of Facebook.
Me too. Sometimes I've convinced myself that I did think of it and just wasn't bright enough to act on it. You ever have that happen?
No.
I invented that at some point. I know I did. I know I thought of it. And
you're looking at a protractor? I invented this.
No, it doesn't happen with protractors very often.
You're not looking at protractors.
When's the last time you
used a
guy
looking at a fork and convincing himself that he invented the fork?
Yeah, he's...
I know that I came up with this at some point. I know I did. Sir, eating utensils have been around for... almost a million years.
A million years?
How long have eating utensils been around?
I don't know. Look it up.
You ever see a guy eat Sour Patch Kids with a fork, Bill? I was a bit on Seinfeld where the guy used to eat the candy bar with the knife
and fork. A Sour Patch Kid with a fork. Now, there you go.
See, like, that's what, see, in the candy eating competition, that would be a thing. Like, the guy would be like, I need a spray bottle of water and a fork. I'm going to, like, just scoop them in my mouth and just
eat them. And just wets them all down.
Right. Before the competition, you got to wipe down my Sour Patch Kids. I'm going to eat 200 of them.
Everybody, see. Ready? Are you ready? All
right, here we go.
Go, Bill.
Personal table fork was most likely invented in the Eastern Roman Byzantine Empire, where they were in common use by the 4th century. Its origin even may go back to ancient Greece before the Roman period. There you go. Well, forks have been around quite a while.
Oh, thank you, Bill. That's where Bill reads from the internet very well. You learn something new every week on this program.
Yeah. I mean, there's all different kinds, but yeah.
So that was the big news, Zuckerberg. And then, you know, Conor McGregor got a little out of control this week.
McGregor should fight Zuckerberg.
That would be, see? And then I read something. Now, wait, is there going to be a Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather part 2 fight, or was that fake news that I saw?
Possibly, but...
Where they're going to fight in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me thinks this whole thing is just a giant publicity stunt. And Dana White's sitting there. He's like, no, I didn't know anything about it. I'm very upset with Conor. He may not ever be a part of the UFC again.
Yeah, right.
I got to get a better Dana White impression down.
That's pretty good.
That wasn't bad.
Thank you.
What exactly? I mean, like, what, he attacked a bus? Like that.
He got on a private jet and came over here.
No, his buddy is this guy, and I think he's Serbian or something.
Conor McGregor's buddy?
Yeah. They've trained together like their whole careers, and they're like best friends. And so this guy was at the weigh-in for the other thing, and then these four guys tried to jump this guy, and Conor was defending his buddy.
Okay. So
Connor got involved and then had like 100 Irish people show up and go nuts.
I thought that it was like, you know, premeditated. I thought like he got on a plane, went right to the event and started causing ruckus.
No.
No?
Okay. He was defending his buddy.
And what did he do? He threw like a gate at the bot. Like people were injured. People got hurt during this this little
natural. I don't know what the injuries were. Someone got hit with something. Someone got cut. I know that.
Somebody looked like Ric Flair from Starcade 91. Blood all over his body.
I know an executive from Star Energy was there making sure that the lights remained on during the fight.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that was the big sporting news, the Conor McGregor stunt. It came and went like that, didn't it? It's funny how, you know, a guy who's been in the spotlight for so many years, something like that happens and then boom, nobody cares. Like right. 2 days later, because the media is like that, the story cycle is that intense and nuts. Did you read about TJ Miller, the comedian?
Mm-mm.
This latest thing?
What'd he do?
From Chicago originally? Apparently, he got loaded and called in a bomb threat on it while he was on an Amtrak train the other day, and he was arrested at LaGuardia Airport.
Well, that's not smart.
The feds or whatever, $100,000 bail. They're not very happy with it, with the stunt. 5 years maximum in prison.
Give it to him. Give him five.
Give TJ Miller five?
Absolutely.
Make him do it?
Simmer down. Give you time to think about how...
I don't think that TJ Miller probably remembers doing it, truthfully. I think he was probably blacked out, hammered, on a train car. From what the witnesses have said, was he was in the middle of a verbal altercation with either someone that he was very close to, a woman, right? And they were fighting back and forth, and they were both intoxicated, and he started getting on his phone and saying that she had a bomb. Or something like that, okay? And like they were, and whatever happened was that Amtrak took it very seriously, stopped the train. It wasn't the train that he was on. He gave the incorrect number to the train he was on. I think he meant to do it to the train he was on, to by threatening her and being a smart guy, wise guy, as they say here in Chicago.
Yeah, right.
And he called in the wrong Amtrak number, and they stopped a train in some different route. Because it was like an anonymous call. He like called into Amtrak and was like, there's a woman, she's making me nervous, and she's getting up from her bag and getting back to her bag, and like, I'm you know.
He disrupted train travel.
That's ridiculous. Why don't you just go, stop yelling at me, and then go into the bar car and have another drink? That's pretty much what I would do.
Because people are dramatic, Bill. Sometimes people get very, very heated.
Well, he's destroying his career.
Well, I think part of me thinks I don't think he cares, truthfully. Like, it's like he's already not liked by a lot of people.
It's a cry for help.
Is that what it is, Clay?
That's the motivational speaker in me.
Michael Lispy.
TJ Miller is just crying out for help. All he wants is just a little help.
He wants attention.
He wants attention. Can't you tell?
He's the train. He's the out of control train.
Right.
That's the metaphor.
The metaphor is that you are the train, TJ. You are out of control.
Listen to my tapes, Michael Lispy.
Yep. You can also flip houses with me.
I'm also very good at flipping homes.
And rooms. Flip this room.
Flip this bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Flip this closet with me, Michael Lispy. I'll turn your closet.
How to put stuff in your closet with me, like Michael Lispy.
How to decorate your closet with candy.
With candy themed.
You want a candy themed closet? You call me up, Michael Lispy. I made one for TJ Miller once when he was a runaway train of an actor.
Well, I wish him the best.
Yeah. That's one of your lines, Clay. Well, I wish you the best.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do, right?
Right.
Your kid's in preschool yet, Clay?
Starting soon.
I just had to sign. My wife's like, we got to worry about getting Mikey in preschool. I'm like, oh my God, is that happening already? I can't believe it.
Sad.
So that's been my week. She's like, what preschool is he going to go to? I'm like, I don't know yet.
Homeschool him.
Could you do that? I think I've never considered that before. I don't think my wife would be able to have the temperance to do that at this
point.
Just
Google.
She's like she's very excited to get him in school. She's like, oh, you know, like I get to, you know, not be tethered down by a 3-year-old all day.
Right.
You know?
See.
When does preschool? This one start till the fall, though, obviously, right?
Yeah, but you gotta start. You gotta start thinking about these things now.
They fill up.
Not
quick,
like though. I wish I thought about my own life that way sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. I should be planning 6 months ahead. You know, I don't know 40 minutes from now.
I'm planning 10 years behind.
You're planning exactly.
Well, you guys always have known I want to go back in time.
Yeah. Well, speaking of time travel,
Bill's Uncle Rico.
I know you are Uncle Candy Rico. Carico. I saw a thing on YouTube this week. Oh boy. About a guy who had visited the future in 600 years from now or something like that. 700 years.
All right.
He's a southern guy, Clay.
Oh nice.
I might have to pull him up if I can find him. But
what the heck happened?
He's very direct. He's very matter of fact. That he went and he worked for, you know, the CIA at one time, and apparently he kind of alluded to the fact that there is a science for us to time travel, and it's just not welcome to all of us yet.
Seems legit.
This is real?
This guy wants you to believe that it's real. Uh-huh. But, so from a listener standpoint, I always perk up about these kinds of things, you know?
Yeah.
Just to see how convincing, and the guy tells the story with such conviction. Yeah. But apparently, 700 years from now, according to this guy.
700 to 800 years from now?
700 to 800 years from now, yeah. Okay. So this would be in the 28th century or something like that, right?
Geriums from the earth?
There are plenty of geriums crawling. the cities are above the cities that exist today. They're floating. They work on gravity, like they're giant machine built cities, like Mario World. You know what I mean? like mushrooms above other mushrooms. Like there's cities built in the sky.
Okay.
And basically, they're all sort of utopian socialistic societies. All right. They're completely governed, and they're governed by like a master computer system.
Oh, that sounds tricky.
Everyone, isn't it? So yes, this guy, but the way that this guy tells the story is like, so my first question was, who's behind the computer?
Right.
Now, it took me about 100 years in the future to get a real answer, you know?
Yeah.
But apparently there
Harvey
are.
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein.
And his monkey Douglas.
And his pet monkey Douglas apparently have survived in the future 800 years and run a computer system.
So who did he say
sky.
Was behind the computer?
He wasn't sure. That was like the biggest secret. They didn't know. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. It was just God to them. The computer was like a God, and they had no recollection as to how. Oh, and there are only 50 million people left on Earth.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, man, huh? It's not many. It's more people go to McDonald's every month. You know,
only dinosaurs.
1 billion served.
Yeah, do they still have that sign? Wow. The Hoolies Hooli. We should have a sign like that on our episodes. Like 242 listens, you know?
a million pairs
like
of ears.
The McDonald's sign just goes click, 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 you know? What'd you say, Clay?
A million pairs of ears.
A million pairs of, I don't understand.
Ears.
What about ears?
A million pairs of ears have listened to the show.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't understand what you meant for a minute there. Just while you're chewing down that Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah, that red Airhead tastes like straight like Robitussin.
It's outstanding. It's my favorite.
That's no good.
Suck on those things for days.
No good. Wow. Why don't you work in the candy industry? You should be CEO of Sour somewhere.
You know, if someone would be happy to hire me, I wouldn't have a problem. You know, if they want to talk candy, we can get down to it.
You should. What company would you work for, ideally?
I think I would do better more in the, you know.
Who makes these?
Artificial fruit kind of candy stuff. Mike and Ike's, those kind of jelly candies.
Yeah.
Jelly with sugar. Chocolate? You know, we can get there. I like it all.
You should work for Perfetti Van Mel.
That's who makes Airheads?
Do they make the Airhead?
They're in Erlanger, Kentucky. Not too far from here.
Oh, are they now?
Go down there, meet a nice Southern Belle, work for Airheads.
Drink some bourbon and eat some.
My daddy lived the American dream. 2018, he moved down to Kentucky, got a job at the Airhead factory. Met himself my mother, Southern Belle. Her name was
Cynthia.
Cynthia Sour Patch.
That's right.
That could be your life.
And then they had me, little Lenny Lemonhead.
Little Trump. Little Trump Houlihan.
We were talking about that before.
Andy asked a very, very good question. Do you think anybody has
this
named
is before
their,
before we rolled on we were just hanging out in the room tonight before we right. started taping.
Has anybody named their kid Trump? First name. In America.
I was saying that the state of like who the politicians are in America today, that wouldn't it be funny 20 years from now when my kids are growing up and we're all watching college football, you know, and they're like, now playing quarterback for the University of Texas, Trump O'Malley. You know, they're like, Trump O'Malley. Like, okay.
I guarantee it.
Right. And then you got, you know, who else would you have?
Obama Jones?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. And his running back, Barack Jones, you know, and all the political figures of in the future.
Not Barack. Obama would be his first name.
Okay.
Newt Gomez.
Newt Gomez?
He's named after Newt Gingrich?
Yeah.
the Gomez family had a really good relationship with the Gingrich family.
Putin Smith with the field goal.
Paul Ryan Rawlings with the kick.
So forth.
Boehner Johnson.
What's he? What position is he?
Tight end, Boehner Johnson.
Tight end, Boehner Johnson.
Yeah. They got any other ones? Come on. You can do better than this. Huh?
Wide receiver, Zuckerberg Jones.
Zuckerberg. My parents named me Zuckerberg.
Hatch Wilson. Like Senator Orrin Hatch.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You got the whole roster, boys.
Yeah.
Hey, who's coaching this squad? John Goodman.
The political squad today has been coached by John Goodman, actor and participant in the entrepreneurial scent business of John Goodman Farts.
He's making a big comeback, boy.
He's making. Who is that? Wesley Snipes endorsing John Goodman Farts? He's making a good comeback, boy. Boy, it's boy, B-O-I. Boy.
Boy. No, Johnny G.
Have you had anybody say that to you? Remember that? That was like a 90s thing. Yeah, boy. That was
a Flavor Flav thing.
Flavor Flav, right.
Yeah, and the Beastie Boys did that sometimes.
Did they?
Yeah.
What's up, boy?
Boy.
There's instruction in the Russian sales manual in chapter 11 that says when you get the sale, you go, yeah, boy.
chapter 11's title is Yeah, Boy.
Right.
Yeah, boy.
Huh? Come on, chapter 11, Yeah, Boy.
When I hit you with this kettle prod, I want you to yell yeah boy every time.
Yeah boy! You can do it like that. You can do yeah boy!
What do you think will happen with Facebook? Do you think it'll eventually, like, what? Fold? Do you think it'll ever go away?
I have no idea. But, like, here's the thing. If all of a sudden they just said, hey, guys, Facebook, done, no more, would you be upset by it?
Well, I'm not on it.
See? Exactly. Would you be upset by it, Bill?
Probably not.
See, I mean, you were the guy you wished, you wanted Y2K to happen. You're
like, yeah, when I was at Marquette, I was like, get rid of those grades.
Bill was like, why can't we just all be cowboys again? But can we please have the candy from today?
Why can't we be cowboys?
Save the candy, get rid of the computers.
You better save your candy from my fingers.
Save the candy, become a cowboy!
Yeah, I mean, I'm the guy that told you I'd rather have it if everything was just written down. I mean, we had that conversation.
Yeah, we're just going to go back to
transcribing and eating candy all day long.
Everyone, grab a pen and paper. Facebook and computers as we know it are gone.
We're going to be transcribing.
You'll have to read stuff.
That's weird. If all of a sudden
you actually have to look at someone in the eye walking down the street and say something.
No, or you can just read it and look down while you read. Mm-hmm. It's up to you, the consumer.
It's up to you, consumer.
Well, you know, like MySpace, that's gone.
My mom asked me about MySpace today. She goes, why can't we just go back to MySpace? I go, do you even know what MySpace is? Wasn't it a thing that existed before Facebook? I go, yeah. She goes, well, then why can't we just go to MySpace?
Napster,
go,
that's gone.
It would have been MySpace. It would have been the same thing. What?
There'll be a new thing, and then Facebook will fade away. It'll be called, like...
Of course. Well, that we know that's going to happen eventually at some point, right?
Will it?
Candy Space. Let's start it.
Candy Space.
Right?
Tasty, sure. Fun, pleasurable.
It's a tasty, fun, pleasurable social network. Candy book.
Comforting.
Family friendly.
Tasty, fun, pleasurable, comforting.
And family friendly. Candy book.
It's creepy.
It is creepy. But
Candy
it's...
book. Can David Bowie do the song? Candy book. Get online.
Log me on to Candy Book.
Candy Book, yeah.
Get online, have some tea, join a town with candy book.
All right.
There's like different there's different icons on the candy book that, like, if you want to set up your, like...
How's your day? Sour, sweet?
Yeah, there's like sour, sweet, right.
Chewy.
Chewy.
Kind of a chewy afternoon for me, if you know.
See,
what
this
I mean.
Is the stuff that the phone FBI is listening to right now. I'm just writing all this down longhand, as they should.
Right. I want the FBI agent who's in charge of listening
the
to the FBA agent who's in charge of listening to this here program.
You say you're with the FBI? No, the FBA. It's a totally different organization.
You know who? Sour Patch Kid actually looks like Gumby a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I didn't know there was a mascot for that. The Lemonhead obviously is a worldwide known figure. You get that little bow tie on, he looks so nice, don't he?
Yeah.
Why does he wear a bow tie is my question.
The Airhead is just like a bow.
The ad agency came up with that, you know?
Eh, put a bow tie on him.
The original Lemonhead illustrator.
And the Airhead is a balloon with a face on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's and a smile. That's the Airhead logo. Sour Patch Kid. I don't know. Sour Patch look kids look like they're supposed to look like. Looks like something from like the Mayan culture. You know, like it's like something you would see in like a.
Looks like Gumby.
Looks like something.
Yeah,
that, like,
they do. They look very sort of tiki like, right?
Exactly. Very tiki looking.
Those little tiki guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Sour Patch mascot should look like little tiki guy.
Somebody thought of
Comprende?
That. Somebody had to think of all that.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. Do you think there was a guy in an office that was like, I got the idea for what the Sour Patch Kid looks like. He just doodled it and took him 2 seconds.
Here.
That's him. Here, Mark, put it on the bag.
Yes, I do.
Marcus, put this on the bag.
Marcus, Eric, put this on the bag, please. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm eating too much candy.
Yeah.
I'm all right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. The Hooli's Hooli returns after these.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Welcome back. Final stretch of the program. Hooli, thanks for listening all hour with us. I hope that you're...
informed?
Informed about the candy culture in America today.
And, no more candy talk. I'm sick of it. I know. It makes me sick.
Sick.
Sick. Sickening.
Sickening.
You make me sick, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Would that be something that somebody could get away with? Sure they could.
You make me sick, Zucky.
There's just, and now a word from Senator, blah, 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 he goes, you make me sick, Zuckerberg. The end.
There was, I saw some clips, people were calling him out like the wrong name. Like, thank you, Mr. Zuckerman. Next question is,
right.
They're calling him the wrong name, they didn't know who he was, they didn't care. The whole thing's a big joke.
Mr. Jeff Zuckerberg?
Jeff Zuckerberg?
Jeff Zuckerberg, wasn't he the CEO of NBC at one time, or that was Zucker? I think it was.
I don't know.
Hope you're listening, Jeff. We love you. Geoff Zucker.
Geoff.
Good.
Good.
Great.
Riddance.
Good riddance to good riddance to Facebook?
Yeah.
See, I think it's
Reign of Terror is almost over.
I think it's funny that people are posting on Facebook. Should we quit Facebook? Should I quit Facebook? like they want a poll on whether or not they need to quit the vehicle that they're
staying. People can't live without it. I mean, it's like a drug.
Mm-hmm. America's hooked on screens.
America's hooked on Facebook.
Hooked on screens, man.
Hooked on the book.
Well, that can be anything. Hooked on the book. Good book. Right?
That's Joel Osteen's theme.
Mm-hmm. What? Switch from Facebook to good book.
Hey, forget about the Facebook.
You know? No, he's going to start a thing called good book.
Forget about Facebook and bury your face in this book, the Bible.
Oh, well, yeah, I knew that was coming.
Thanks.
Good book.
Love, Joel.
Candy book. That's a good one.
It sounds like an adult magazine.
It does sound like one. It does.
Give me a pack of Cools and one of those candy books. Yeah, April, I guess. I don't care.
I was in the basement. I found a couple of my dad's candy books. I'm going to come over. I got it hidden in my baseball card binder.
Did you hear that Stormy Daniels is on this month's candy book?
Said, isn't that sick that like 13-year-old kids are going, who's Stormy Daniels?
Yeah.
Google it, son.
Now, Patty.
Don't let me catch you Googling Stormy Daniels.
You asked, has anyone named their kid Trump? Has anyone named their kid Stormy?
Oh, sure.
You think so?
Yeah. That's a nickname. That's not a real name, though.
Yeah, but because of her, do you think anyone has named their child after that woman?
Who knows? Yeah, maybe. The name was in the news, and someone's like, I think I'll call her Stormy.
Dan to be a southern person.
Yeah, there's no one like an East Coast like Stormy.
Okay. And you should call my kid Stormy. After Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, it's not a guy from Staten Island. He's like, yeah, we're gonna call her Stormy. Why not? Eh?
Did you say why not or what not?
Hey Doc, we're calling her Stormy, all right? Cut the thing, let's go.
Hey Doc, I was thinking about calling her Stormy, right? What not, huh?
Do I wanna cut the cord? No.
No.
It's gross.
No, I got a bag full of Sour Patch Kids over here. I want to watch you do it. What are you, crazy?
Come on.
This is birth.
The Mets start in 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Golly, jeez. Yeah,
speaking of baseball.
Oh.
The Sox are stinky right now.
Well, what did you expect?
What? There's 400 games in a season. They've played five. Ugh. Relax.
God, this Davidson, though. He's got five dingers already.
He's going to do the same thing he did last year. He's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to strike out 200 times. He's going to, you know. They don't have any, I don't know.
They don't have any what? Bullpen. Is that the problem?
They're losing one run ball games. There's just all kinds. Like there was a situation against the other day that I was watching. And I was like, how do you start an inning with, I mean, on second and third and no outs in the bottom of the ninth and not score a run? It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you had two chances for a suicide squeeze.
Could you do better?
I probably couldn't, but I know that if...
maybe you could.
I don't... You know, I...
Maybe Bill would step in there and
how quickly things have turned every... Like, 2 weeks ago, we're very excited for the White Sox. You know, they're six games in, and everyone's like, I don't know what's going to happen.
No, I think that, you know...
That's how White Sox fans are.
The Cubs are not playing great ball either
now. They're not.
A Cubs fan won't say that.
But I'm...
No.
We're honest. Sox fans. We're honest.
We'll have to have some Cub fans on the program at some point. And
Professor Cubs fan.
Professor Cub fan. Yo, Professor Cub fan.
Yeah, boy.
Professor Cub fan.
Yeah, boy.
Candy wow. talk.
I don't think we've been that. Listen to each other. Like,
I know, it's just dead air.
Bill, you should call Wrigley and see what kind of candy they serve.
Ooh,
I bet a bag of Airheads at Wrigley would be like $6. Probably. I mean, if you probably went around the ballpark, if I went into some of those stores, I've seen a bag of Airheads for like $1.95.
No, I'm talking in the park. I want to know the candy prices in the park before I go.
That's a valid question. That is a good question. For a family-friendly ballpark. Hey, what are your candy prices like? Kind of good?
Hey, I just want to be up front. It's a complete deal breaker. If they're not what I think they are, okay?
Mr. Ricketts, it's a real deal breaker in America if you don't release the candy prices at your ballpark soon.
I'm Southern Senator. Now, we want these candy prices out up front and on this desk
Southern,
in 10 minutes.
Southern Senator Sowerman.
I'm Senator Sam. Listen, I'm Senator Sam. I'm Senator Sam.
I'm Senator Sam. Release the candy prices.
I want the candy prices of every candy bar in America.
Yeah. It's been another week, and somehow we've found to talk about candy again for another.
I know.
Candy
geez.
Technology, social media, dork tapas.
I hope I haven't let our listening audience down with all the candy talk. This show is sponsored by Hibernian Transmedia. If you've enjoyed the last hour, you can catch archived episodes of this show if you go onto iTunes and search for Free Crack, that's CRAIC, or you can go to our website and find us at www.freecrack.com there.
Yep.
The show is presented by Hibernian Transmedia. Stick around for the program following this one. That's The Crack with Gino Cooney and Mike Houlihan. They tape that show live at the Irish American Heritage Center every Thursday night. And then stick around for the traditional Irish music sessions that follow.
Correct.
The show starts at 6 and the sessions start at 7.
Yeah.
Clay, you mentioned the Pulsars at the top of the show. It's
one
a band.
One of my favorite bands.
That you did turn me on to them in college when we were at Marquette.
Yes, the Pulsars. They have played them before.
It's Dave and Mark Trumpfield, the brothers. They were a very special group at one
Underground,
time.
Yeah.
Underground.
Yeah.
Dave Trumpfield has been nice enough to actually message and email me back and forth. I've told him of my love for his music.
Well, I'd like to dedicate this song of theirs to Zuckerberg and his army of cyber dorks.
There we go. It's Technology by the Pulsars. We'll see you next week.